All right, Austin Bechtold, let's go out to the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, where we find Rich Cimini of ESPN covers the Jets and has a story, especially with the Jets coming to town here, that is well worth your while. The headline is Inside the Jets Split with Coach Robert Saleh, Next Steps. And it's great. Rich paints the picture of players finding out that their head coach had been fired, being absolutely stunned. And Rich himself calls it a week like no other in Jets history. And as you say, Rich, that's saying something considering the Jets history. They're rarely short of drama. Thanks for taking the time today. And in what state do we find the Jets coming to Pittsburgh?
Well, thank you for having me. And a state of, I guess, excitement in some respects, a state of transition in another respects. You know, like I said in the story, last week was a week like no other, and this week wasn't far behind. I mean, with the trade yesterday for Davante Adams, so, you know, there's always something cooking here at the Jets, and so the story now is, you know, the Steeler fans are going to see a Jet team coming in there with one of the greatest quarterback-receiver tandems in history, reunited on short notice, and we'll see how it goes.
Is there more to the firing of Robert Saleh than meets the eye, or was it just the losing? Simple as that.
Well, I think there's a little more than meets the eye. I think a lot of fans, you know, revert to the narrative that that Aaron Rodgers was pulling the strings and that he didn't like Saleh and had him fired. I don't think that's true. You know, based on all the reporting I've done, I think this was a Woody Johnson production, the Jets owner. I don't think he ever fully embraced Robert Saleh. Technically, he did not hire him because Woody was finishing up his ambassadorship in the UK when Saleh was hired. So technically, it was Woody's younger brother, Christopher. And I think he liked Saleh. I just don't think they had, you know, like a real close relationship. And obviously, I think he thought of firing him after last season, but he decided to give him a mulligan after Rodgers got hurt. And obviously a very short leash this year, 5 games, which is just, you know, way too short in my opinion. And so I think this was a Woody Johnson production. I do not believe Aaron Rodgers was pulling the strings here.
Rich Cimini of ESPN joining us. Read his stuff at ESPN.com. So, Rich, with Rodgers, in your opinion, how much does he have left? In what state do we find him?
Well, he's happy now. I mean, he got his guy. So he got Davante, which I know he's been, you know, chirping about for about a year to try to get him. State of his game. Interesting question. He's kind of been all over this year. You know, he had a horrific game against Minnesota in London. He threw 3 picks. It was one of the worst games of his career. I thought he actually played well on Monday night against the Bills, except for that last interception. He's had a great game against New England, and he's had some mediocre games. So he is not the player he was a few years ago when he was winning MVPs with the Packers. I don't think he moves nearly as well as he did. His arm is still dangerous, though. He can still throw the football. He can make every throw. You saw that Hail Mary the other night. I think it was about 60 yards in the air.
Yeah.
He can still sling it. Just doesn't move as well as he once did.
What's the feeling in that room around the new head coach? Is this a guy that players, you know, like, respect? What's the deal with Jeff Albrecht?
Yeah, he's been around here. He's not new. You know, he's been the Saleh's DC for, you know, 3.5 years. So the players know him. They like him a lot. He's a very popular guy. He's a very energetic guy. A glasses half full guy. He reminds me of Pete Carroll, you know, which is interesting because of, you know, that's one of Jeff's Albrecht's mentors is Pete Carroll. You know, that was the first coach he worked for in the NFL. Just the positivity and the energy. I thought he did a really good job as a defensive coordinator. Technically, he still is the defensive coordinator. He still has the title and he's still calling the defense. And the other night, you know, obviously not a great defensive performance by the Jets, and was also very sloppy. They were undisciplined with a lot of penalties. So he's inheriting a very, very difficult job. I mean, the expectations are to make the playoffs or bust, and so he walks into a real tough one.
Then we have the mini side drama, I guess you could call it, of who's calling the plays. That has changed. Tell us about the characters involved there.
Well, that's another, you know, like you said, a side drama. But, you know, Nathaniel Hackett was calling the plays. He, of course, is very close to Aaron Rodgers. One of the reasons why Rodgers came here last year was to be reunited with Nathaniel Hackett. They're extremely close. And Hackett was stripped of his play-calling responsibilities last week by Ulbrich during this coaching shakeup. And so now Todd Downing is doing it. He's the former Titans offensive coordinator. So this is not his first rodeo. He's called plays before. He's been here on the staff for a year and a half, so Rodgers knows him. He essentially is the quarterback's coach. And now he has the added responsibility of calling the plays. And I actually thought he did a good job the other night against Buffalo. They had 393 yards in total offense.
Yeah.
When you have two 100-yard receivers and a 100-yard rusher, you should win the game. And incredibly, the Jets did not because of those penalties. And their red zone performance was terrible. So, but I thought there were some encouraging signs there on offense.
Davante Adams appears to have made a miraculous recovery here. Is he ready to go? Do you expect him to play?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally, yes. It's amazing. I guess it must have been some new medicine or new healing that
yes.
he did on the flight from Las Vegas to New Jersey. Maybe he did a darkness retreat real quick and somehow did some healing or something of that nature. And, yeah, he's ready to go. You know, they haven't officially announced that. But from all signs, he said he's feeling good. And so I expect him to be out there on Sunday night.
I mean, when I look at the Jets, and we all saw them the other night, it seems they're only a kick or two away. And I realize this is the NFL, and a lot of teams can make this claim from being 4-2 instead of 2-4. I still consider the Jets to be a playoff team. Am I nuts?
No, they have a lot of talent. They've lost three games in a row by a combined total of 10 points. You know, they've been in those games. They've had the ball in the end with a chance to win the game. You know, Zuerlein misses a long field goal against Denver. They lose. Rodgers throws a late pick against Minnesota. They lose. And the other night, Rodgers throws a late pick. They lose. So, you know, that's the NFL. You know, every one of these, it seems like 90% of the games come down to the last few minutes. And, you know, the good teams make the plays, the bad teams don't. And the Jets haven't been, but they do have a talented roster. I think Adams really gives them another weapon on the outside, which they needed. And it's a good defense. I think people overrate their defense. I don't think it's what it once was. And they've lost some players. I mean, Hassan Reddick, God knows where he is. He's holding out. Who knows if he'll ever play for the Jets. You know, they lost Jermaine Johnson to an Achilles in week two. He was a really good player. Mosley's missed a few games. He's back now, but he's not what he was at middle linebacker. So it's a good defense, but not as good as it had been.
Well, there's no shortage of drama around here, as you know as well. Last year, we had a quarterback quit on the team and then get kicked out of town. This year, a wide receiver who jogs on his routes and quarterback controversies and everything else. So I wanted you to maybe give us more of a thumbnail sketch on what whoever the quarterback is going to be facing with this Jets defense. I noticed they're tied for third in the league in sacks. Is it the type of defense that's going to come after you with a ton of blitzes, or what's their MO?
Interesting question. If you had asked me that a few weeks ago, I would have said no. That traditionally, this is not a pressure defense. They're a traditional four-man rush, you know, 4-3 base defense. You know, they rush four, they'll drop seven, they'll play a lot of zone. But this year, they've changed a little bit, and I think it's because they just need to try to energize their pass rush. They have been blitzing more. You're going to see some 5- and 6-man rushes. You're going to see more man-to-man coverage on the outside. And they do have two good corners with Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed. Now, Reed's status is up in the air. He's got a groin injury, and I think he might be doubtful this week. We'll see. But so their secondaries, and they're also, they lost their safety this week. Chuck Clark, he just went on IR yesterday. So they're going to see a patchwork safety to some degree. But, you know, it's been a more aggressive defense. I think they realize they can't get home with four as much as they used to. And so that you're going to see some five-man rushes sprinkled in there. And Quinnen Williams is probably the best player up front. He's having kind of a quiet year, but he's still a really good player. And their linebacker, their best linebacker is Quincy Williams. He was an all-pro last year. He's a sideline tackling guy. And, you know, the secondary is led by Sauce Gardner, who really doesn't get tested that much. Mm. So I think teams really respect him.
Lastly, Rich, the return for Davante Adams, can you break that down? It's a third with the possibility of getting a second because the Steelers were said to be aggressively pursuing him. Do you think he manipulated this to go where he wanted and let it be known that he wouldn't be happy in a place like Pittsburgh? In other words, could the Steelers have outdone the Jets with a certain trade package and would Adams have come here, do you think?
Well, he did have some say in it because of the way this contract is. So, however, I think the Raiders would have taken just the best deal. I mean, the Raiders under no obligation to, you know, satisfy Davante Adams. You know, obviously, they just want to get him out of there. And so had someone offered a second-round pick, you know, I'm sure the Raiders would have taken that. Mm. So I think that the Jet pick can go to a two. It could go from a three to a two, but he'd have to be like a first or second team all pro. And the Jets would have to make the championship game or the Super Bowl. And then that would elevate from a three to a two. I doubt he'll make all pro. He's probably missed too many games. He's missed three games, but you never know. I mean, maybe possibly he could. And so, obviously he wanted to come here, either here or New Orleans, where, you know, he's got his old college quarterback.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that, but I think here was the spot. And I think the Jets knew that. And however, had Pittsburgh, you know, upped the offer and won up the Jets and said, here's a solid two, you know, the Raiders, I'm sure, would have done that deal.
I notice you're a proud Syracuse alum on your social media profile, Rich. Are you familiar with some of our notable Syracuse alums in this town in sports media? Tim Benz, Andrew Filipponi, right here at the station. You know any of these guys?
Not personally. You know, one of my former students has worked in the media in Pittsburgh, and Corey Christen. I had him a few years ago, kept in touch with him. I do a spring semester sports journalism class. So I got some students scattered around the country, you know, working, but I think we're everywhere. So I know people who didn't go to Syracuse hate hearing that because, you know, we tend to brag on ourselves a little bit. And I know that annoys people, but we are everywhere. You know, it's a great school. And so we're in all the major media markets, as you guys know.
And I believe intern Dom is a notable Syracuse student right now. Is he not, Limits?
That's correct. He's a sophomore, I believe, up there.
He's a budding legend. Yes.
Tell him to sign up for my class this spring. Coming
Ooh,
up.
Absolutely.
There you go.
And really, lastly, you're a member of the Suffolk County Hall of Fame. My grandparents were in Riverhead. We used to go to Riverhead every summer. I'd play wiffle ball out in their yard, and then we would drive to the beach.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very familiar with Riverhead. I was just driving through there the other day, in fact. So, I live about 40 minutes west of Riverhead. But believe me, guys, they didn't put me in the Hall of Fame there because of my athletic skill. That was more of a media-related induction there, for sure.
Rich, we appreciate the time, man, and everybody should read if they want to catch up on the Jets and all the drama there and the X's and O's, too. Read your stuff at ESPN.com. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That was absolutely incredulent, Limits, was it not? This guy's been everywhere on his Twitter profile or his X profile. He has the Carrier Dome. A photo of the Carrier Dome. For all we know, Pony, Benz, and intern Dom are at this game.
It's a real possibility. There are a lot of Syracuse, notable Syracuse alum.
Is intern Dom on his way to greatness? I love his, he gives no you-know-whats when he's on X.
He will bring it and does not care what other people have to say. And a lot of his takes are very strong and hot. And a lot of them end up being very cold. I do like intern Dom a lot.
You consider him a likable man and not a man that you'd want to punch in the stomach?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
maybe it changes on the day.
I like him.
He's a good man.
He's a good guy. Well, that was interesting, particularly the last part. Should the Steelers have gone after this guy more aggressively? Wonder Twin?
Yes.
I agree.
I mean, I know he's like in his 30s and not Brandon Ayuk's age, and we had that whole conversation. But
the problem is he may have made it known through the pipeline, through the back channels, that he was going to be a hostage. That hamstring injury might have reared its ugly head again the minute he arrived in Pittsburgh instead of this miraculous recovery he's apparently having. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, it might have been a problem. Plus, I think I only would have wanted him if I thought I could get him to a multi-year deal, and I don't know about that either. I'm tempted to say, yeah, they should have gone after him with that second-round pick, but there was more to it. I don't think I would have done that as a rental, right?
Well, the Jets have already restructured some of the money around this year
the Jets
and
have,
going
yes.
forward. So,
right.
I mean, couldn't the Steelers have tried to have had an agreement like that, too, that
they could have tried.
Orchestrate it?
I don't know that they would have succeeded because nobody named Aaron Rodgers plays quarterback here. In fact, we don't know who plays quarterback here yet.
Kyle Allen. The third string quarterback. He plays.
Are they leaving a light on for Kyle Allen and letting participation be their guide for him this week?
No, I think
the best pass of the year so far.
I think it's a really big week for Kyle Allen to be able to show his talent. Joe, it's a big week for everybody every single week to get out there.
Man, it's a big day, maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eko, man, who just got here.
Wait, there's Eko news today, isn't there?
Well, Ade
was in an eco chamber, you might say. Do you like that horse?
Yes, you like the ecosystem that we live in? You like that one?
That's better. And congrats to you on that. What's the news with him?
Well, Ade was released off, I think it was the active roster. He's been re-signed to the practice squad.
Well, strike up the band. The big boy next, Mark Cabali. Let's ask him about this pursuit of Devontae Adams. Where the Steelers go next, let's ask him about the quarterback situation. Let's ask him about the injury situation. And let's ask him, most importantly, why he didn't interview Ben when him and Ben were in a press box a couple of weeks ago. He could have had the story of the year. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that, Limits?
Yeah, I probably could have came up with a couple of juicy stories.
It was derelict of duty is what happened. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Let me tell you about FanDuel and what's happening as we go into week 6. First, a really cool thing that I may be bringing my dog Bailey to. PetFest 24. Have you decided if Muffin's going to attend this event?
Not yet, but we also have to figure out what time we're going, too.
Yeah. Now, do you bring snacks or do you let him eat whatever's on hand at a party? Does he have free rein to just sort of pig out?
No, she is not allowed to eat all kinds of snacks.
I'm sorry.
Because she is overweight.
Oh.
Muffin needs to lose some weight.
Does Muffin eat human food?
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem.
Too much.
Yeah, Bailey's overweight.
My dad
as well.
Feeds Muffin way too much food. Way too much.
So
but it's gotten
wife.
Better, but
so
still, still room to go.
My wife feeds Bailey too much human food and too many treats. She wants him to feel good in the moment, but I argue that it's penny wise and pound foolish, literally. Right.
Like Muffin does not need to eat so much food. Muffin does not love us because we give Muffin great food.
Right.
You know, we can give Muffin less food. She'll be okay and she'll have a... She'll be great, better with her weight.
Well, I would love Muffin to meet Bailey. You know, who knows? They could get married. We don't know that. They might hit it off at this party.
That's a possibility.
Yeah. How old is Muffin?
Muffin is 13. You asked me this yesterday.
Oh, my God. Bailey's only 7. This would be like Belichick dating that cheerleader. Wouldn't it?
The 23, 24-year-old cheerleader.
Wait, how old is Muffin in human years? 13 times 7, right? Isn't it times 7?
Yeah. So like 80-something. 80.
Right. It would be, well, Bailey, though, is middle age. Bailey's like 45. So it'd be an 80-year-old dating a 45-year-old.
Where did we come up with that dogs, you multiply 7 years and that's their age in human years? Like, who came up with that?
Probably a vet somewhere. I don't know.
You don't think it was like an Aristotle or something that just decided
way back
the stars
then?
Told him this or
maybe,
something?
Maybe. Maybe it could have been.
He definitely has that machismo.
You know what time it is. It's time for the big boy, Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Close it in here on the 50-minute mark, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. All right, big boy. I think all of us are expecting Russell Wilson. We're not going to be surprised with another Justin Fields start, are we?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they just got on the field right now, and they're working indoors today because of some of the inclement weather out here. It's raining. So I couldn't tell you one way or another who's taking first snaps yet, but I would be stunned if Russell Wilson's not your starter on Sunday. But I'm not dismissing the fact that Justin Fields will see a snap or two, but Russell's going to be your guy.
Right move?
I think so. I mean, I wrote today, man, what do you have to lose? We sit here, moan, and complain about 9-8, fight your way into the playoffs, maybe but with a Week 18 win and some help, lose bad in the first round of the playoffs. I think we got a pretty good core sample that would you feel comfortable right now with Justin Fields, even though they're 4-2, that would change. I'm not saying it's going to change with Russell Wilson, but at least it's a different look that's the unknown right now, that they put this team together with the thought of him leading it. So if you're going to go all in, if you want to get past that 9-8 record, if you want to have a chance in the playoffs, I think your best bet is to take a look at Russell Wilson and see if he has what he had last year with the 26 touchdowns, see if he's be able to flow with what they want to do, the deeper balls, the play action passes, loosening up the run game, and not eight guys in the box, and see if they can move a little bit past that infamous non-losing record streak and actually make a run at this. But the only one way you can find that out, Joe, put him in there and see.
Yeah, my concern, and I don't think it's a simple decision here. It seems like a lot of people are either they're crazy for benching Justin Fields, to which I said, have you watched him throw the ball the last 2 weeks? What are you looking at? Yeah. To being crazy on the other side. But the reason I would probably at least give Fields the start this week is this offensive line, Mark. They're just bludgeoned with injuries, and I think some of Justin's best plays in Vegas were sort of quietly avoiding sure sacks by doing something other than getting sacked, honestly, and I worry about Wilson back there. How's he going to beat the blitz?
Oh, probably hitting some quick throws, maybe recognition, getting the ball out quickly. With Justin is, it's the one read, if there's pressure, let's go find a way to escape it. And that's what he was able to do. I mean, obviously, he has the talented legs to be able to do that. He has been sacked 16 times, I believe, this year. But, you know, Russell Wilson's up over, 500 for his career. So, I mean, that is an issue. But I don't think that's an issue that you have to worry. I wouldn't make a change based solely on that. You have to believe in the guys you put out there, that they'll be able to block. I think being able to set the offensive line blocking schemes, be able to switch in and out of plays, should be able to help that out. And him being able to hit some easy throws will be able to loosen that up. Yeah, it's always going to be in the back of your mind, but I don't think that's something you make a decision off of whether you're starting quarterback or not, just based off of your offensive line may stink or not.
I saw a couple players quoted saying Russell's been unbelievable in practice. Is that your observation, too?
Yeah, I mean, once he goes against, it depends. I mean, he hasn't really done a ton over the past 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, he does throw a better ball, and that jumps off the screen to you, so to speak. When you're out here watching it instantly, you're like, okay, the throws are there, the crispness of the throws are there, the accuracy are there, the throws down the field are there. But we are still talking about practice here. So, he hasn't made it in this league for 12 years and is a borderline Hall of Famer for nothing. I mean, when we talk about old quarterbacks around here, we think of, you know, Ben during his last year, which I still thought may still be your best quarterback option if he was able to still play. Maybe not now, but back then I don't think he was so bad that final year. We think of the guy that can't move, can't do much, if anything, barely holding on. I don't think that's Russell Wilson. I mean, I think he proved that last year with the 26-8 in a disadvantageous situation with a quarterback, with a head coach that hated him, that he still has enough talent. Now, like I said, I don't know if this is going to cross over to here. I mean, he can come out here and stink up the joint for three games, and we can say, man, he's done. But as I go back to, I at least want to see that with my own eyes.
Yeah, I think there's been sort of this mistaken notion that Russell Wilson is like confined to standing there in the pocket like a 93-year-old Kirk Cousins. The last I saw Russell Wilson, one of the games last year, he was in Buffalo in the fourth quarter outdoing Josh Allen with two drives. Like, they were going back and forth, and he wasn't doing it through anything that Sean Payton was designing. It was Russell running around and ad-libbing. Very few can move around like Fields, but Russell can move around still, unless this calf injury is something horrific. Have you seen him move around a lot? Does he look nimble in practice?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen him take off and run the ball down the field like Joe Burrow did the other day, but be able to move left and right, move up in the pocket, I don't think that's been an issue. I don't think the calf injury, I think that's one of the reasons why they kept him out so long. I mean, we've heard about maybe he was ready to go 1 or 2 weeks ago. Now, you give him those extra 2 weeks, that calf is going to be probably as good as it's ever been right now. So I don't even think that should be in the back of anybody's mind that would slow him down. I mean, when you compare him to Justin Fields, it's like, come on, man. I mean, we're talking about, you know, me versus Austin Bechtel there, baby, in a race.
It's like, speed.
You know what I'm saying? It's not really a fair bet with anybody with him. But like I said, he's not Joe Namath Chargers-like, put it that way.
Mark Cabali on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Fan weather presented by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or go to sunchevy.com, high 53 today with cloudy skies. All right. How about the state of George Pickens? Did you feel like at the end of the game they were just trying to appease him to lift his spirits? Does he believe that he did anything wrong in that Cowboy game?
I don't know, man. You're going to have to watch FS1. He's on his little media tour of repairing his image and blaming the local people for treating him a certain way. I don't know if you saw that interview there yesterday. That was kind of interesting timing for a guy that refuses to speak to us for the most of the year. However, I think they definitely were trying to appease him at the end, at least get him through this week of feeling good. Hey, I got a touchdown. Hey, I have 5 for 60 or whatever. The ironic part about the whole thing is if Fields would have made a better throw on that deep ball, it would have been a touchdown, right? So, but he dropped one as well. So I think that definitely they were trying to make him feel good. I don't know if that's radioed in from Arthur Smith and, you know, carried over from Mike Tomlin saying, get the ball to George. We need him to feel good. I don't know if that's quite the case. This just might be Justin Fields trying to prop him up a little bit. So, I don't have too much against that. If that's what it needed to take to make him play better this week or make him feel better this week, so be it. But I'd much rather see that happen, you know, quarter one, play 2, 3, and 4 to get him involved in the game rather than late in the game when the game's already decided. It will be interesting, Joe, to see if Russell Wilson gets him involved early in this game. I think that will be a huge key of not only how George plays, but how the mentality of the leadership. I mean, we've saw Ben for 20 years, or at least 10 of those years, feed Antonio Brown unwarranted at times. Probably shouldn't have been. Let's see if Russell does that too with him. So that's the thing I'll be looking at early in this game.
Wonder Twin, I've been awfully selfish by not including you in the proceedings. Would you like to ask Mark a question?
I would love to. Mark, we saw Najee Harris run angry and really have maybe one of his best performances in a Steelers uniform. Do you think, was it the offensive line blocking for him, or do you think that there's just a mindset behind Najee, at least that I see, where he is running with a purpose this year and is really wanting to prove something?
Wonderfully worded, highly insightful and intelligent question. Would you agree?
Yes. I mean, I think he's been like that all year. I thought he is obviously trimmed down a little bit. He got speed, he got burst, and I've said in the past, he looks like a different guy in practice than you see him in the game. You're like, okay, this is not the same guy I saw in practice, but he was able to carry that over this year, and it should help him maybe more than anybody if Russell Wilson gets the start, because now you're going to have to loosen up the boxes, man. They've been throwing 8-man boxes at him for the majority of the season, and I don't care who you are, it's going to be tough sledding, especially with the offensive line now has their, 7th different combo in there. So I think that should show through a little bit more with him, a little bit of play action. But, yeah, I've always thought he was a very talented guy, that numbers weren't there because he didn't ever have those big runs. He got a couple big runs the other day, and all of a sudden there's a 100-yard game. So I think it was a little bit of everything, but I don't think Najee's changed much of how he approached. I think he's been running like that for the majority of the season. However, first of all, the Raiders stink. They were giving up, 130, 140 yards a game. And the ability of him to have some big runs, I think, helped him out a lot here. So I would expect a lot of the same. I think he'll get better, too, the more Jaylen Warren gets involved, too. Because if you look, what do you have, 16 carries? I mean, that's probably a sweet spot for Najee. You keep him right around there, he's going to be very, very hard to defeat, hard to bring down. He's going to be a tough running back. If you get anything over that, anything under that, that's where you start to waffle a little bit on his effectiveness.
14 carries, but who's counting? Yeah. Limits, may I engage Mark in a game of free association?
Yes, you may.
Who's going to start at quarterback, Mark?
By the way, stats are for losers. That's why I got that wrong, so... Who's going to start, you said? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Russell Wilson? Of course.
I just wanted to get you on the record.
Stats are often for losers. It's comfort food.
Comfort food, I like.
This is a nice time of year for it, comfort food. A little open-faced turkey sandwich, you know?
Yeah.
Nice comfort food.
Little pumpkin latte, things like that. Over under 0.5 series for Justin Fields.
Series. I don't know how you're going to describe series. I would say under series, but I bet you he has a good 5 to 7 plays.
What do you mean, how do you describe a series?
Well,
it's a series. You come in and you play a series at quarterback.
No, I don't think he's going to come out and have a series. Zero.
Okay.
But I think he'll have snaps.
Snaps.
Touches, yeah. I'll say under 7, so anywhere between 5 to 7 touches.
All right, now we got to move. George Pickens, over under 0.5 touchdown catches.
Under.
Does Joey Porter Jr. follow one of these guys around, Garrett Wilson or Devontae, and if so, who?
I think he will, and I think it'll probably be Garrett Wilson.
Who covers Devontae?
Probably the old Belichick issue, you know, Dante Jackson, and probably a safety shifting to that side.
Are the Steelers okay at center for this game?
One game, yeah. Two games, possibly. But anything more than that, probably not a good sign. So get Zach Frazier back by the Commanders game. I think they'll be all right.
Highsmith play?
Yeah.
Over under 0.5 Minka interceptions?
I want to say... over. I think I keep saying he's going to get one, so eventually he's going to get one. So Aaron Rodgers will blame it on somebody else, but he'll blame it on Mike Williams. There you go.
Over under 0.5 times that TJ Watt takes a swing at the ball and misses and clocks Aaron Rodgers.
I hope it's over, but no, I don't mind Aaron Rodgers. He reminds me of Ben back in the day, and I really felt Ben was very entertaining. So, off the field.
Who wins the game, Mark?
I had the Jets, but I think I'm waffling back to the Steelers in a close one again, maybe 24-20.
Thank you for your kindness.
All right, Joe. I heard you don't waffle on your Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. I heard you like to waffle on who should be playing or not. So please, please stick to it.
He's a crap disturber, isn't he?
Flip flopper.
Thank you, Dr. Cabali.
All right, we'll see you guys.
See you, buddy.